You'll notice in the bulletin that the title of the sermon is Christian Love. Well, I changed that. As I started working on that, I got going in a different direction. So the title was really A Tale of Two Issues That Needed to Be Resolved, which is kind of a long title, isn't it? Okay, so let's set the scene for today's message. Jesus has been crucified, he has been buried, and he is resurrected, and he's now in his glorified body, and he's roaming the earth, and he's making appearances in his glorified body. Now, there were two issues that needed to be resolved by Jesus. If you'll go to the book of John, and you go to chapter 20, we're going to be in chapter 20 and chapter 21 most of the time today. And we're going to start in chapter 20, verse 24. This is the first issue that Jesus needs to resolve. Verse 24. Now Thomas, also called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Now Jesus had already appeared to them once, and Thomas hadn't been there. So verse 25. The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the wounds from the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the wounds from the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe it." Okay, let's see here. Okay. Then verse 26. 8 days later, the disciples were again together in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And I bet every time he did that, they jumped, don't you? Can you imagine just standing there in a room and all of a sudden you hear this, "Peace be with you," and you turn around, there he is. Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, he goes up to Thomas, he approaches him. He says, "Put your finger here, examine my hands, extend your hand and put it into my side. Do not continue in your unbelief, but believe." And Thomas replied to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That would be all of us, and that would be all the Christians down through the ages. In other words, those that show true, strong faith, even though they haven't seen, they believed. And then verse 30, now Jesus performed many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are recorded. Why? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, or is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, this is why it's so important for us to give our testimonies to others. Most of us have miracles that have happened in our lives. We've seen miraculous healings. We've seen great things happen. And when these wonderful things happen, we need to tell other people because it is very, very encouraging. I told a story one time. This happened several years ago. There was a fellow living fairly close to Terry who was very sick. And Terry and I went over to see him. And there were some people out on the porch as we went in. And they told us flat out they didn't expect him to make it through the week. And we didn't know if he was saved or not. So we went in there and he assured us that he was saved. But we prayed for his healing. And we left. And that fellow lived another year and a half and was out and about and doing different things. And I remember telling that story to a friend of mine, and it really, really affected him. And he remembered it better than I did, because it really hit him, and it was good for his faith to just hear stories like that. And that's another reason why I like to talk about the evidence for creation as opposed to evolution. Because the theory of evolution can really shake somebody's faith because they think, wow, that's a way we got here without God being included at all. So I think the evidence for creation is extremely important. If you can show somebody without a doubt that God created, then even if they were an atheist, they're not going to be an atheist very long. Because every single atheist has to be an evolutionist. Now, it's not necessarily the other way around. There are evolutionists that believe God did it that way. But every atheist has to be, because we're here, and there's only two ways we could have got here. Either God created us or it evolved. And so they have to be that way. So if you can convince them and give them the evidence for creation, it changes their whole way of thinking. And so Jesus knew that Thomas was not believing. He knew that Thomas needed to see the proof. And so he went to him. He approached Thomas and he said, "Here, here's your proof right here. Here's my hands. Here's my side. Check it out, Thomas." And he did, and he believed. Some people, that's what you have to do for them. Other people, like he said, blessed are the people who haven't seen, yet still have believed. Okay, now I want to talk about the next issue, which is, we just keep going on, John chapter 21. Verse 1, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which is the same as the Sea of Galilee. Now, this is how he did so. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael, who was from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples of his, they were all together, and there were seven of them all together. Now, the sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John. Okay. So in verse 3, Simon Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." And they said, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Verse 4, when it was already very early in the morning, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Remember, he was in his glorified body. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you don't have any fish, do you?" And they replied, "No." Now I want you to notice the use of the word children. Even though they were adults. This denotes authority of Jesus, the authority of Jesus. He was a father to them. Just like a father has authority over his children, Jesus had authority over them and called them children. Verse 6, he told them, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they threw the net and were not able to pull it in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now this would have been John, the disciple Jesus loved. He refers to himself as John. "It is the Lord." So Simon Peter, when he heard that it was the Lord, tucked in his outer garment, for he had nothing on underneath it, and he plunged into the sea. Meanwhile, the other disciples came with the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards. When they got out on the beach, they saw a charcoal fire ready with a fish placed on it and bread. And Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you have just now caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153 to be exact. But although there were so many, the net was not torn. "Come, have breakfast," Jesus said. But none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So right here, Jesus is getting ready to fix something. He's getting ready to resolve an issue between himself and Peter. Remember, Peter in Matthew 26, 72, when he was being tested by the people, he was close to where Jesus was going to trial, and after he'd been arrested and everything, and people noticed his accent and they said, "You know, aren't you from this same group?" And he said, "I don't know the man." Peter said that. "I don't know the man." And then in John 18, 25, they asked him if he was a disciple of Jesus, and he said, "I am not." Peter said, "I am not a disciple of Jesus." So Peter needed to be restored. But before we keep going in John 21, I want to read a passage to you from Matthew 26, beginning in verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "This night you will all fall away because of me. For it's written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Now, Jesus is talking about the night he was arrested. And then he said, but after I am raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And notice what Peter said. If they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth, on this night before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will never deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. I can just hear him. Oh, yeah, yeah. See, Peter thought he was a super disciple. He thought he was a super apostle. But now look at what Jesus says back in our reading on verse 15 of John 21. Then when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, notice that. Look what he called him, Simon, son of John, his birth name. Remember, Jesus had changed his name. He said, you know, your middle name there is Peter. And that means rock or little rock. I'm the big rock, you're the little rock. And so he started calling him Peter. Now he's back to calling him Simon again. He says, do you love me more than these do? Speaking about the other disciples. See, he asked him that because Peter was giving the impression, I don't know about these guys, but I will never deny you. Giving the impression that he was better than them. He says, do you love me more than these do? And Peter replied, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus told him, feed my lambs. So I want to show you something here. This is very important. These two words for love, in our English translations, it just says, keep saying love over and over again. But there are two words used in this passage. And the first one is philia, which is a type of friendship love, liking somebody a lot, having a fondness for somebody. And then agapeo is the highest form of love you can think of, divine love, the love of God, a very passionate, intimate love. And so this first time when he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Jesus used agapeo. He's saying, do you love me with this great love? Well, that was kind of embarrassing to Peter because he just denied him three times. And he said, you know that I love you. But when he used the love, when Peter said love, he used the philia. So in other words, he was saying, well, Jesus, you know that I have a fondness for you. He couldn't bring himself to say, I love you with this deep abiding love. He couldn't bring himself to say that, not after what he had done. And so in verse 16, Jesus said a second time, Simon, son of John, he keeps calling him that Simon name again, do you love me? And he used that agapeo word again. He said, do you love me with all this great love? Now, Peter was distressed that Jesus asked him a second time. He said, you know that I have a fondness for you. Peter went back and used philia again. He still can't bring himself to use this great word. And he said, both times, he says, you know, Jesus, that I have a fondness for you. And then Jesus said, well, then shepherd my sheep. So then in verse 17, Jesus said a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? But this time Jesus uses this word. The third time he doesn't use agapeo, he uses philia. So the third time he is saying, okay, Peter or Simon, do you have a fondness for me? Now, Peter was very distressed that he'd asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And again, he used that philia, the friendship word. And then Jesus replied, well, then feed my sheep. So here we see Peter finally was done boasting. No more boasting. He knew that Jesus knew his heart better than he did. And Jesus had told him that he would deny him when Peter was absolutely sure that could never happen. See, Jesus asked him three times, didn't he? Because he denied him three times. And here's more evidence that Peter was actually being reinstated by Jesus. He needed to be reinstated as an apostle. I looked this up and I couldn't find any recorded conversations between Jesus and Peter. It says that Jesus met the whole group, but there's no recorded conversations where Jesus took Peter aside before this one. But one thing I did find, and you might want to go there. This is really interesting. It's in Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. And I'm going to show you in four different translations what this says. This is when Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus and Salome go to the tomb. And there's an angel there. And the angel says to them this. He says, go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. That's the King James. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. The Eastern Standard Version of 2011 says, but go tell his disciples and Peter. Okay? And then the last one, the New English Version, look what it says. But go tell his disciples, even Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. And I was thinking about that. And I thought, I said, what would you think if I looked out here and I said, ladies and gentlemen, you too, Dennis. That wouldn't be a very nice thing to say, would it? I would. He's used to it. I would be alluding to the fact that Dennis is not a lady and not a gentleman. So he's something less than that. So that is the conclusion I came up with. Tell the disciples and Peter. He didn't have to say and Peter. All they had to do was say tell his disciples, except for Peter says, he said, I'm not a disciple. He had denied Christ. He wasn't included. Now, I looked this up, and J. Vernon didn't really say much about it, but I looked it up in another book, and the person there said that he thought that what they should have said was, especially Peter, you know, that Jesus had the angel say this so that Peter would know that everything was forgotten and all right. But if that were the case, then why would Jesus bother to ask Peter three times if he loved him? He was definitely excluding Peter here because he hadn't resolved the issue yet. This was before he resolved the issue. So he needed to be reinstated. Another thing I want to show you here is interesting. Is in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus was just starting his ministry out, the disciples had been fishing all night. They hadn't caught any fish. And Jesus said, you know, throw your net on the other side of the boat, and they had another great catch of fish. Right after that is when he made them apostles. It was after that big catch of fish, he made them apostles. So here we have another great catch of fish, and what's Jesus going to do? He's going to reinstate Peter as his apostle. So here we have Jesus addressing two issues involving his followers. Thomas's doubt and Peter's backslidden denial. And I want you to notice that at both times, Jesus initiated the interaction. And if you're a Christian and you start going a path you shouldn't go, he's going to go get you. He's going to come get you. You may not listen to him. You may not listen to him right away, but he is going to be the aggressor. He is going to come to you. And he does it. Why did he do it for Thomas and why did he do it for Peter? Because of his love for them. Because he loved Thomas and he loved Peter. And just like a parent, when they see a child or even an adolescent or a young adult going down the wrong way, that parent will approach that child and say, hey, I might make you mad, but I'm going to say this, you know, and they tell you. In the same way that Jesus loved Peter and the same way that he loved Thomas, he loves us the same way. He loves us the same way. And what did he tell Peter to do? Notice that when Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I have a fondness for you. Jesus didn't say, okay, we're good now. What did he say? He said, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, and then feed my sheep. And then later on, he looked at Peter and he said, okay, follow me. And when he said, follow me, that was his way of telling Peter, you're back in the fold. You're back in the fold. You're a disciple again. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And we're weak and we do the wrong thing sometimes. And we can expect to be disciplined. We can expect for you to come because you love us so much. And we start doing something that's harmful to us, that's hurting us. Maybe we don't realize it at the time, but you'll let us know because you love us. May this be an inspiration to us, Lord. May we be totally inspired by this because your love for us is so great. May we want that same love to be for our friends and family who aren't saved. Oh, may we just have that desire that they know such a great love as we know. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, our closing hymn.